Okay, I have.
Buckle in. Melodies of Mind is coming soon.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM, or on the web at www.cjsf.ca.
Woman I know, she heard a song on her radio. Song told a story about a woman and a man.
Tune in to CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for
Another round. She was holding on to something.
Welcome to Melodies of Mind, the happiest show on earth. You are being summoned to the songs of the spirit with social concern. So let it happen. Relax, kick back, and join the harmony. Every week there is a feature guest interview, a performance starting at 8 p.m., a review of the week in CJSF folk music, and then a full hour song circle at 9. Now, come with me and let us meet today's feature guest. Shall we? Okay, well, we're going to do things a little bit different this week, but not all that different. We have a chanter here with us, and I am enchanted. It is Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you.
Is there a last name you want to use, or is it just go with Heidi?
Heidi's good.
All right, great. So, let's begin by explaining chanting. What is chanting?
Well, chanting's been around for probably as long as people have been around, and the chanting that I do is in Sanskrit and Hindi and also in English. The Sanskrit language itself is an amazing language, and why it's amazing is because the sounds, the vibrations, open up very special channels in the nervous system that incline you towards higher spaces of thinking and inner peace. So you're using a sound and kind of repeating it, mm-hmm. and through that repetition, the whole sort of atomic structure of your nervous system is being transformed.
So it starts with just making a sound?
It starts with just making a sound, and every sound comes from one basic sound, which is just just the and that's chanting. If you just, you know, were to walk around and go that very sound opens up your the top of your head, which is like kind of the highest energy center in the body.
Mm-hmm. So are you working with chakras?
They get worked with anyway.
Yeah.
But that's not what I end up putting my attention on. But yeah, mm-hmm. I often just kind of watch the space in front of my closed eyes. In all the years that I've been chanting, I usually chant with my eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just watch the space in front of my closed eyes. Mm-hmm. And it's very blissful.
Mm. Do you use the third eye kind of approach to that? Do you call it the third eye?
Yeah, you could call it the third eye.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's that kind of idea.
That's the idea, yeah. And the space that you're mm-hmm. seeing, you're not seeing with your open eyes, you're seeing with your third eye.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an inner vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's give the listeners here a taste of this. Do you have something to prepare?
Sure. Yeah. I can sing something.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just get my guitar and I'll do something that's a little more on the repetitive side so you get that sense.
And I'm just going to explain a little bit more to the listeners who tune in every week loyally, all 16 million of you. someone doesn't believe me.
There will be no Song Circle this week. The Song Circles will be on hold until the new year. The next Song Circle will be January 5th. And for this show, we're going to do this great interview, and we're going to have some music, as you're about to see, or hear. And there's an hour of recorded music that Taped Ryan has prepared. Okay.
Okay. So this is a very old mantra, actually, and it's in Sanskrit. It's just Om Namo Shivaya, which plenty of people may recognize, and it just means that I'm becoming one with that space of bliss, and Shiv is also the power that sort of destroys ignorance. Mm-hmm. And when ignorance is destroyed, then what's left is the space of bliss and the space that we call meditation. So I'll just repeat it. I'll sing it for a little bit, and you'll get the sense of sort of what that repetitive sense is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very beautiful. So where did you find chanting? How did you get into this?
Well, actually it sort of came from my own inner search for what I wanted to do with my life. And mm-hmm. From the time I was a child, I was looking for something that wasn't easily available through what people were telling me was real. And as I say to people often, when I looked at the grown-ups around me, I noticed that not a lot of them were very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I don't want to be like that. Mm-hmm. So I just kept questioning and kept looking and eventually came to meditation. And I started pretty early. I was about 15. Mm-hmm. And some people down the street invited me to a meditation, and so I went mm-hmm. and liked it and started sort of practicing on my own. And so there was no chanting at that point. I was just sitting, started reading some stuff. As I was saying to you earlier, I'd already started writing poetry when I was even younger. So I was familiar with the space that poetry creates and where the poems came from. And that seemed to be a place in myself that was a lot more real than, you know, all the time I was spending in my life in school, with friends, with family, with activities. But the time that I'd sit quietly by myself, there was something that opened that seemed much more real than all the time I was spending, you know, in the so-called world. And this just kept drawing me forward. And I couldn't forget it, and I couldn't leave it be, and it seemed to claim me as being the most important part of my being. And so eventually I met some people who could teach me more about meditation, and it became obvious that this was what I was going to do with my life. So I went to India, lived there for a year, and during that time, I'll backtrack a bit, during that time when I met the people who taught me about meditation and had themselves lived in India, I discovered that when we would have meetings that they would chant. And I was already a musician and I already wrote songs and I was already a poet, so this all just kind of was perfect for me, right?
Yes.
Plus I didn't have to learn words. I mean, you just learn a couple of words and you get to fly in the space. It's all very free-flowing and free-form. I liked all of that. And there were usually many of us singing together, and an amazing space that would get created. So I spent, for the first years of my meditation practice, I spent hours a day chanting. Hours. Just either with friends or sitting by myself. And eventually got interested in singing in Sanskrit and special poems in Sanskrit. So I would do that for hours a day. So it was a big, big part of my spiritual practice for a lot of years. And then I went and lived in India for a long time. So I was there for 15 years.
What is the draw of India? I find so many people, when they're getting, you know, into spiritual pursuits, India seems to be where people go.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
What was it for you?
Well, what it was for me was that my teacher was there. I think if he lived in Timbuktu, I would have gone to Timbuktu, you know? And if he lived on Prince Edward Island, I'd be there. so that was the draw for me. As to why it's a draw for so many people, India's an amazing place. And it has a very, very ancient, I mean thousands and thousands of years of spiritual practice imbued there. And you feel it when you go. And there's so much available. And because it's so open, and because all forms of God are accepted and worshipped as the one underlying essence that is the real God, you know, there's nothing separate, and nobody looks down on anything. I think a lot of people are attracted by that.
It's interesting because I also know someone who works at one of the local restaurants here. Spent quite a lot of time in India, and we'll talk about it often. He's a very spiritual person, also. It's something that's a consistent thing. And of course, the old religions, quite a bit of religious background. I mean, Buddhism in India, Hindu, and that sort of thing too.
Exactly. And as I say, you feel it there. You know, the air is just filled with all the vibrations of everyone having done their spiritual practice for thousands of years, juxtaposed with this growing sort of second world, you know, economical burgeoning and all that's going on at the same time. It's just like a chaotic frenzy of everything.
Do you spend more time in the mountains, or do you spend time sort of in the super overpopulated areas?
I've been in both. Where I go to study is in the mountains. So that's where I've lived, in the foothills of the Himalayas, and it's very beautiful there. But to get there, I have to land in Delhi, which is an absolutely insane city. And, you know, I don't think they have driving laws, you know, or traffic rules. It's just, I don't know how they manage, but they do. And there's, it does feel like there's some other, you know, the West is sort of governed by the left brain. Everything kind of works logically, and you go to a place like India and it's not logical, mm-hmm. and everything works. But it's got nothing to do with logic or, you know, what you would think. So
sounds like my show.
Maybe that's why I feel so comfortable.
All right. Okay. So you were telling your story and you were in India. And then we went and talked about India for a while.
Yeah.
So what happened after that?
After the 15 years there,
yeah.
I came here. That's about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was sort of told by my teacher that it would be a good idea for me to come back and teach. So
mm-hmm.
I came back. I hadn't lived in the West for 16 years about.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very challenging. My family's here, so that was made it a lot easier. Still,
what was
though,
the reception like?
When I came back?
Yeah, you've been away for 15 years and
I came back every 5 years to get
you?
A visa, so it's not that I'd been away for the full 15 years, but I hadn't lived here, so I'd come back to visit, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, now it was sort of like you're on a one-way ticket,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, find your way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was challenging for me because I would say that the biggest challenge for anyone on the spiritual path and anyone in their life is the sense of division that mm-hmm. is inherent in the human mind. And so all pain that a person experiences in their life is because they don't realize it, but their mind is constantly dividing their self, right? Their mm-hmm. real self. So we divide everywhere. We divide mind and body. We divide spirit and matter.
Mm-hmm.
We divide world and God. We divide one person from another person. And then we try to create connections using the same mind that divides.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it just isn't going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
now that's an interesting question, because when I think about that, and I mean, I've looked at things enough to know sort of what you mean a little bit.
Mm.
Right? But then on the other hand, I think about why that happened in the first place, was sort of, I think about evolution, and I think maybe total theory here, but that it's just a way of communicating, right? In order to communicate what you mean, you need to divide things.
Yes.
And just like,
that's
yeah.
right. That's right. And that's what I have found so liberating about understanding meditation, because when I'm teaching it, the biggest thing that people seem to appreciate is that everyone thinks that they have to somehow control their thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's just not possible. In the same way that I can't stop the way my eyes function or my ears function, my mind is a sense just as good as my eyes and my ears.
Mm-hmm.
And its functioning is to divide. So you're right. It's constitutional. Mm-hmm. We're wired that way,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So if I rely on my mind to give me the information about myself, which is undivided, then I'm going to experience a sense of frustration because
mm-hmm.
it's not going to happen from there,
yeah.
right? So I have to use another part of myself, and that's where the meditation part or even the chanting part comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because through accessing that other part, which is what happens when I close my eyes and start to watch, that even though there's thinking going on, there's a part of me that's watching the thinking.
Right.
Right? And you'll know that from writing poetry, right? It's like
mm-hmm.
there's a part of you that's watching the poem as it's coming out.
Yeah, you get the sense that you're not writing it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that part of you is sort of eternally uninvolved or watching and not involved in any creation.
Yeah.
And that's you, right? That's actually who we really are. But because of the way the mind functions, it obscures the reality of who we are. But it doesn't mean that we go anywhere. It just means we can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So then, because you're using the mind and the senses which look outward, you're on this huge search to find yourself when you're already there, right?
Yeah.
So you have to use something different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing. So what are you going to use? You're going to use a different state, which isn't your what we call your waking state mind, which divides.
Mm-hmm.
And it's useful, like you said. It's totally useful for communicating, for, you know, attending to whatever needs to be attended to, but
mm-hmm.
everything in its place.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I'm wanting to know who I am, I then need to take my mind to its source. And that's where everybody kind of goes, okay, now what? Because what am I using? Mm-hmm. So I'll use my power of attention, and I'll understand that my power of attention, just as it has the power to move outward, it also has the power to move inward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll train that attention either by chanting or by attending that part of me that's just knowing or watching.
Mm-hmm.
So when that training starts to become stronger, then that being that I am is more and more available to me even in the waking state.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I don't suffer from the sense of division or duality in the same way that I would if I were totally identified only with my mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and just thinking, there's two ways I can go now. There's, I've been thinking about lately the way we can take things personally, right? And then there's a way to not take things personally. Where would that fit in where you're, what you're talking about?
Yeah,
now?
That's a brilliant question, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the not taking things personally means that you somehow are able to just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that makes us take something personally is that we get identified mm-hmm. with whatever it is that somebody said or somebody did.
Right.
And we think it belongs to just me, mm-hmm. a body and a mind, right? So if I'm aware that I can just watch, then even though I may feel affected, because the mind and the body do feel affected, I'm still aware that who I actually am is unaffected.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there's the feeling of an effect, that effect will pass faster because I'm not trying to repair everything on the level of the effect.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the greatest gifts that comes from meditation is that it gives you the power to pause, which, as mm-hmm. we see in our life here in the West, there isn't a lot of pausing going on, right?
That's for sure.
So through yeah. meditation, you actually get the power to pause and
yeah.
to pause on your own thinking and your own concluding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually if you start to study the way the mind works from the perspective of meditation, which is a big part of meditation, is the understanding of how the mind works from
mm-hmm.
the deeper side, you realize that the mind tends to always conclude against you. Right? So when you take things personally, it's usually, you're not thinking, oh, that was a really nice thing that person said, and I feel really good, and, you know, and they just think that I'm the same as them, and they actually love me. You don't tend to think that. You tend
mm-hmm.
to think, why did that person say that, and what did I do wrong, and how can I, you know, make it better, and what happened that was bad here, right? And
mm-hmm.
what's wrong with me? So that type of concluding, you start to realize the mind will always do that, and it's always kind of working to sabotage you, the real being.
Why is the mind doing that?
Because that's what it does. It's like it's its play.
Yeah.
And it is just its play, except that because of taking it personally,
mm-hmm.
it starts to feel not like a play and as if that's who I really am. And
mm-hmm.
then it's not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, well, what about pessimism versus optimism? Like, do you believe that people can sort of just train themselves to look at things in a positive light to such a degree that it becomes automatic?
Yes, I think that your thought is your greatest power.
Mm-hmm.
So negative thinking, which means thinking that doesn't align you with your true self,
mm-hmm.
Everyone knows what the effect of that is,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can definitely know that you've got the power to replace that kind of thinking
mm-hmm.
with something that will work for you or in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a place, a big place, for the power of thinking. But ultimately, I guess in meditation practice, it's not just about thinking, you know, positively as opposed to negatively,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually consciously using your thinking to align your attention with that higher self that you are.
Okay. And another thing that my mind is going to is the middle way. So I have an understanding of the middle way. I don't know if I'm right or not, but the way I think of it is that sort of positive and negative, you don't really get into that. You see it both as part of one of the same. Is that how you see it, or how would you explain the middle way?
Practice hasn't been a
different
Buddhist practice.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
From what you've described, so you said that it's neither positive nor negative that you're sort of attending with any seriousness, right?
Yeah.
And I think I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. What strikes me when you say that is that, as I said, the mind is a dualistic mechanism. So if I attend either polarity, which is why I said that thing about pessimism and optimism, because it's still positive or negative.
Right.
So ultimately, which is what you're tuning into, it's neither. Mm-hmm. And that part of you that we were talking about before that's just watching is free from whether it's positive or negative, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Identifying with that is actually where your freedom is. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to use a power, then you might as well use the positive power.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I now have 18 million listeners. Yes.
Great.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh, I just lost one. Okay, well, let's have another chant here.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
So this is a chance meeting.
Yeah. I wanted to sing something that has some English in it so that people can also get a sense of the meaning.
Okay.
And actually, this has it's got a story behind it. You know, all the scriptures have stories. So there was a king, and he had a wife, and her name was Madalsa. And they had 12...
Sorry, how do you spell that? The wife?
The Madalsa, M-A-D-A-L-S-A.
Okay, so I was just thinking it might be Medusa.
Madalsa. Oh, yeah, right. No, Madalsa is her name.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So they had 12 sons, and to 11 of those sons, she sang this song while they were in the cradle. And all 11 of them got enlightened. Mm-hmm. So the king begged her, please don't sing the song to the 12th son so that at least one of them will want to, you know, continue being the king to the kingdom. So it's called Madalsa's Cradle Song. You'll see why. It's in Sanskrit, and then there's an English part which gives the meaning of it. So
okay, cool.
Okay, great. Give up your confusion and fly in your that's beyond all illusion. Should ho si bud ho si niranjano si sansara maya parivarjito si sansara swapanam tyajmo hanetram.
Sounds like good advice to me.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we're talking to Heidi here on Melodies of Mind this week about chanting and other things. So earlier you were talking about growing up and sort of it seems that you are naturally spiritually inclined. I was interested in this because I can kind of relate in some ways about going to school and just feeling there's something that's not real. Like, I actually have a pretty vivid memory of a tantrum I had when I was about 4, and I was complaining that nothing's real. Nothing's real. This
isn't
real.
Right.
That's not real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I sometimes wonder, do other people also get that feeling when they're going to school that this isn't, this isn't really learning. This isn't the deeper learning here.
Mm.
That kind of thing.
Mm. Mm.
I was just wondering if you might be able to elaborate a little bit more on your experience.
On my experience of
just sort of being in school and then and having this interest in all these other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My memories of being in school aren't actually very happy ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was interested in your website for that because I noticed that you had something about it was all about non-conforming.
Yeah, and unconformed.
Yeah, and that was my whole, that was the word mm-hmm. that sort of got me through all those years when it seemed as if everything around me wasn't reflecting something that I felt inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I just don't seem to be able to conform, you mm-hmm. know, to what everyone is saying reality is and what you're supposed to be doing and what you're supposed to be like. And so I state, and the poetry became sort of a vehicle of expressing that part
mm-hmm.
That couldn't come out in the everyday life. So I was just so acutely aware of that, and I mean, you try, right? Because nobody's there to say to you, you're actually right,
yeah.
you know? No one's there
to say.
It's a
very rare person who will say that.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were
especially
a couple
especially in the system.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I had a couple of teachers who sort of, I felt, saw me,
mm-hmm.
But for most of my life, I didn't feel like I was seen
mm-hmm.
and or understood for who I really was. And so that became sort of the passion of my search, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't able to give it up, and I don't think it was able to give me up, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I would say is that I think that to some extent everyone is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the being that we are is so pure and so free. And then it starts to get covered by the conditioning, mm-hmm. by the experiences, by the belief systems, you know, by what we think of ourselves, by what other people think of us. And so we're so busy being involved in all those sort of outer covering powers that there's no place for the inner being mm-hmm. in sort of normal society, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and that was, of course, then. I think there is more so now. I mean, yoga and meditation mm-hmm. and those types of things.
Certainly on the West Coast.
On the West Coast are yeah. certainly much more prevalent than they were yeah. when I was growing up. And even when I started meditating and becoming vegetarian, I mean, it was very weird mm-hmm. in those days. And people would sort of look at me sideways. But, you know, I just knew that this felt more true than anything else. So I think that at some point in a person's life, whether, you know, in my case it happened earlier, in some people's case it happens later. Mm-hmm. But I know for a fact that the being in every single person is exactly the same being. Mm-hmm. And it's made of the same awareness and the same sensitivity and the same sort of visionary, original quality that I've come to know for myself, and I know that to be true of every single being. So now what I have more through the meditation is the skills to be able to connect with people in mm-hmm. the way that I always wanted, but I wasn't trained in that until I started the training, mm-hmm. which is sort of what you were saying, the deeper knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And what that gave me the skills to be able to use my life force mm-hmm. in a way that, in this way, I would say is more life-supporting and therefore mm-hmm. optimistic rather than pessimistic, yeah. right?
One thing I've found in the path that I've been on is that the more I get into these kinds of deeper wisdom, knowledge mm-hmm. types of things, mm-hmm. the rest of your life becomes completely so much easier.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think one way that I'm able to do what I do now in interviewing all kinds of people about all kinds of subjects, mm. whether I know anything about it or not, mm. is that I feel it, the connectivity and sort of that there is on a level we're all the same. You see more people more often, like I'm like that person, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you're so right to say that it makes everything easier. That's what I was alluding to before when I said if you try from the side of the mind to make all of those connections, mm-hmm. you won't feel it. It's like if you nourish the root of the tree, you know, the sap knows itself as every leaf, every branch, every flower, every fruit. Mm-hmm. But if all the different leaves try and know the sap, from the leaf side, you can't do it. So meditation becomes a way of bringing your vision and your senses and your mind and your life force back to its originality, the root. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's all known as you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it is neat. Yeah, very neat.
Okay. Now I want to talk about what I find very tough. That's I'm a very creative-minded person, so what I always struggle with whenever I try to get into a spiritual routine is discipline.
Yeah.
I just wander off and do something else.
Yeah.
And is that something you have struggled with? And what would you advise someone on that?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. And so many people who come to me for meditation come because that's exactly what they say, right? Mm-hmm. I've meditated a few times and it's so hard to bring discipline. And I mean, I really understand that because I've been lucky in the sense that I've lived in spiritual communities and had the mm-hmm. support. And I think that that's one thing that it's much harder to develop a discipline for yourself when you don't have the support and you're experiencing all the forces that are kind of drawing the attention outward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first thing I would say is don't get down on yourself mm-hmm. because it's not just you. You know, you're living in an environment that doesn't lend itself, you know, to supporting a meditative practice.
Mm-hmm. There's a sort of culture of this I find on the West Coast that there's a lot of people that are interested in all kinds of
yeah.
these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And it becomes sort of taste testing.
That's exactly
different things, right?
I call them spiritual butterflies.
Yeah.
You know, they go from one flower to another and take a little nectar from here and a little nectar
yeah.
from there. So, I mean, if you are wanting to do something like a more serious spiritual practice, it is advised that you take one path and you stay with that one thing. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, the nature of the mind is that distracted way. So the first thing you want to do is pick one thing and stay with it, and that at least is going to build a certain kind of concentration in the mind. Mm-hmm. And then if you're wanting to meditate, then you just do it every day. Mm-hmm. Like the way you brush your teeth every day. And no, don't mm-hmm. think that you or whatever you do every day, right?
About that one, yeah. I try.
And the other thing I would say, which is helpful, is that I think people think that if they're going to meditate every day that they need to do it for like hours a day or an mm-hmm. hour a day, right? And I would say do it for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you can always find 5 minutes. So start with 5 minutes and but do it daily. Mm-hmm. So, and in terms of sort of transitioning, because it's hard, you know, like people work, you know, if you're working and then you're coming home and you're transitioning from a very active day mm-hmm. where you've been involved in, you know, all kinds of things, and now you're supposed to sit down and close your eyes and meditate, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and what do you do when you sit down and close your eyes? So, I mean, I would like to talk a bit about that because
okay.
I think that's an important thing. And that's why I'm saying you can do this for 5 minutes. The most important part about meditation is what I was saying, which is knowing that who you are is the one who's actually watching the mind. And that's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
You need to close your eyes for that. And you need to be sitting up. You can lean against the wall. You can stretch out your legs. You know, there's no need to have some rigid, you know, rigorous posture type of thing. As long as you're comfortable and your back is up so that mm-hmm. the energy can rise, that's important. And then you're going to close your eyes. If you're coming from work, make sure you drink water. I'd take a shower or a bath, you know. Just take some time to sort of chill. Mm-hmm. And even lie down on your back and put on some soft music or whatever you want to do to just kind of change the space from your activity.
Mm-hmm.
Then sit up. Then close your eyes. And have a special spot in your house which is only for meditation, mm-hmm. even if it's just a corner. You sit down in your whatever corner it is and you close your eyes and you start becoming aware of your breath and you start becoming aware of the space that you see before your closed eyes, which for most people is what they see when they're about to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've never done this consciously. You're just waiting for sleep usually. So be aware that that space isn't nothing. It carries all the potential of all the manifestation in your life and of all life.
Are you speaking on dreams?
I'm just speaking about watching the space, not dreams.
Okay.
Just the space that looks like there's nothing in it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
In that space, thoughts will come. Mm-hmm. It's pretty inevitable at some point, right?
Yeah.
What most people will tend to do is fight with those thoughts, mm-hmm. right? Try and push them out of the way.
Not supposed to think,
right?
Yeah.
So then the not supposed to think thought becomes another thought, so then you're not supposed to think that thought, and so it goes, right?
Not supposed to think about not thinking.
That's right. And you're not having a very relaxing meditation. So whatever thought is coming, it's like what we were saying before, whether it's positive or negative,
mm-hmm.
it's just thought material.
Mm-hmm.
So for these 5 minutes that you're sitting with your eyes closed, you don't actually have to be involved in your thinking. So let the thoughts come and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And that space that you saw when you closed your eyes, which is full of consciousness, it's aware, mm-hmm. right? That's the canvas on which the thoughts are rising and falling. So mm-hmm. often I'll give the example, it's like if you're looking at the ocean, every wave that's on the ocean is made of ocean water.
Mm-hmm.
So every thought that's actually in your mind is made of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's made of life, the same life that's in your breath, the same life that's moving through your entire body. So if you know that the thought is nothing but life, then what do you need to get rid of?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as if by ironing down all the waves on the ocean that then you're going to have a peaceful ocean. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So mind is meant to think, but you don't have to be involved in that thinking. So your true identity is a knower. the one who's knowing and watching the thinking. So let the thoughts do what they want. Mm-hmm. It's like children playing in a field. Let them play in the field. My teacher once said to me, if you're standing on top of the mountain, what's it to you if somebody's singing in the valley?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the one who's watching the thinking, what's it to you what thoughts are there?
Okay, yeah.
So your job is only to keep gently bringing your attention back to the one who's knowing and watching. Mm. And don't get down on yourself if you find yourself becoming involved in thinking. The bottom line is actually who you are as that knower and watcher is totally unaffected by anything. There's nothing that can happen in your life, in your nervous system, in your day that can affect who you really are.
Okay. So now another question I've been exploring lately is the idea of body posture and sort of approaching things through that way, like the way your stance can create an energy that'll change your way of state of mind.
Mm.
How do you feel about that? I guess it's sort of like touching on yoga a little bit. Yeah.
I guess I would ask you, what have you observed?
I actually haven't practiced that much.
But you said you've been watching, you've been observing
something.
I've
just been thinking about it, because a few people have brought that up to me, and just sort of, it's just been a curiosity kind of thing. And just, if you stand relaxed, you will relax.
Mm, right.
Right. So, the first thing, rather than becoming relaxed, and then you'll stand relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Stand relaxed, and then you relax.
I mean, I just think whatever works,
yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know, and experiment with whatever works. But there's no question that, like, the body, the mind, the being inside, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you find that standing unrelaxed is affecting your state of mind, then stand relaxed.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, there's something to be said. You know, if you see people who stand with their shoulders sort of caved forward and keeping all of this heart area protected,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's something to be said for kind of like lifting up and lifting the shoulders back and kind of meeting the situations with a sense of, you know, courage
mm-hmm.
and openness.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a question of openness, really, right?
Yeah.
And watching where you feel open and where you don't feel open.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we'll segue into another song if you have another one for us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come up with something.
Okay.
We'll do another one that has some English in it so
people
can understand it.
Just a little reminder, you're listening to Melodies in Mind on CJSF 90.1 FM. And we can also be heard on the internet at www.cjsf.ca.
Thank you. This is an ancient prayer from the Upanishads, which is an old Hindu scripture, and it's self-explanatory. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
nice.
Thank you.
So you have a couple of albums that you shared. Could you tell us a little bit about these albums?
Sure. Well, while I was living in India, I put together two CDs of songs that I had written based on my experiences in meditation, my experiences with sort of spiritual spaces that were opening my understanding, you know, what it's like to write poetry. So sometimes the poems would come and the music would come after, or mm-hmm. sometimes they'd come together. And I have lots of friends who are great musicians there, so I spent my time with them sort of working out arrangements and came up with these two recordings. And then when I came back here, and I sing in all my classes and all my workshops, and so I had people saying, you know, we want a CD of what you do.
Yeah.
Plus I had people asking me if I could recommend something that they could listen to. And I thought, well, the best thing I could recommend is my stuff. So I just put it all. So I actually spent Christmas of about 3 years ago sitting in my sister's house. They were gone for about a week with my friend who also does my recording. And we just spent about 3 days there, and I just sang and sang and sang and created this next CD, which is all Hindi and Sanskrit chants, some of the stuff that I sang here tonight. And so that's 80 minutes. And so those are the three CDs, and there's a fourth one that's coming out in a little while. Yeah.
Okay. And what are the classes in the workshops? What do you talk about?
Well, I have a center, my own home, which is my meditation center. I offer workshops on Wednesday nights in meditation, more introductory style. I'm doing a retreat in Abbotsford in January, and I travel to the Okanagan and to Victoria and places like that and offer workshops in meditation and chanting and that type of thing.
Okay. Is this a group retreat?
Yeah, the retreat is a group retreat. Yeah.
Okay. Where in Abbotsford?
It's called Edenvale Retreat Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but yeah, they're online. And the CD, especially the most recent one, Invoking the Highest, is available at Banyan Books as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Banyan Books.
Yeah.
So many people go through Banyan Books.
Yes,
yeah.
Banyan Books and Sound.
That's a store, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on 4th and... Yeah, near 4th and Alma.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where do the classes take place?
Well, the Wednesday night workshops are at my home,
which
is in Carisdale.
Okay.
The other ones are just whoever wants to have me, I'll go and travel around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if people want to get involved with the classes and things, where can they go to find more information?
I guess the best thing would be maybe I could leave my information with you if they wanted to get in touch with, because my website isn't up and running yet,
oh,
so
okay.
I can't send you to a website. So I can leave my information with you. If anyone's interested, then they could contact the studio and you can give them my information. How's that?
Okay. Well, we'll work something out.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Is there anything else I want to ask? That's 4 minutes long.
Oh, good. I'm here for as many more minutes as you'd like.
So you're working on an album. Let's see. What else is going on? Do you have any other future
plans for
plans?
Myself?
Yeah.
I know I do. My mind's gone blank. I think both of our minds have gone blank. I would point out that this is the space of meditation when you can't sort of come up with the new things.
Whenever I meditate on the air, the manager gets mad and says,
yes, I'm sure. You're supposed
dead
to be
air.
Talking.
They don't appreciate it. They call it dead air.
But I'm sure that people must, if you are a meditator, people must appreciate the sound of your voice, because the voice of a meditator does carry the vibrations of meditation. So it's very nice that you're reaching so many people with your peaceful voice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, as I told the listeners last week, there's 2 hours of the week that I have to be nice.
To them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I save it all up.
That's great.
I get it out of my system.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's been a lot of fun, Heidi. This has been a great time.
It's been a great pleasure. Thanks so much for having me here.
Yeah. I really enjoy having the opportunity to talk about this kind of subject because it's something I'm really into, as you probably noticed.
I'm so glad I can tell, and it was really great to talk to you as well. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll now make way for Tape Ryan, who did a whole hour of recording for us this week. He was really excited to have more time to work with. As always, he's grumpy at me for not giving him enough time, but he's got an hour, and let's see what he did for the taped segment.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM, or on the web at www.cjsf.ca.
Welcome to Melodies of Mind. This is Taped Ryan here. Would like to comment a little bit on the weather, but first I'll start with a couple of songs. The first one will be Damn Cold by R.A. Lautenschlager, and then an instrumental song by Winter Mitz.
There are songs for seasons, but winter's hard, you know. Sure, some love to see a blanket of new snow.
Winter Mitz.
There are songs for seasons, but winter's hard, you know. Sure, some love to see a blanket of new snow. They can't wait till summer goes. The joys of winter get mighty old. When it's cold, damn cold. Won't stay here getting old. I'm gone. I'll hit the road. Can't take the cold. You can talk about the joy that winter brings. Snow machines, skates and curling. But it's lost on me when a snowdrift eats my car. And the trans can gets tougher than a biker bar. And it's cold, damn cold. Won't stay here getting old. I'm gone. I'll hit the road. Can't take the cold. You may like cutting firewood and paying heating bills. But after decades, that's lost its thrill. And you may love frozen bites and ice inside the house. I gotta go a little further south. Away from cold. Damn cold. Won't stay here getting old. Gotta go before the wind starts to blow, chilling me to the bone. Take the cold.
Perpetual Motion inventors and gadgeteers meet. Amateur inventors are invited to share ideas, devices, and gadgets. The get-together takes place every second Monday at 7 p.m. at Aerial Cafe, 73 Kingsway. Admission is free. For more information, contact informant@justice.com. Olympic Watchdog. The 2010 Watch Group was formed shortly after the Vancouver referendum, in which Vancouver residents voted in favor of hosting the Olympics. The 2010 Watch members have been instrumental in reporting on activities of VANOC, of the Vancouver Olympic Committee, such as its recent plan to house the homeless in warehouses for the duration of the Games. For more information, or to join, visit www.2010watch.com or contact Ian Gregson, 604-320-1911. And when it's damn cold, as R.A. Lautenschlager said, and you need your winter mitts, there's a question of what to do. And actually, I'm going to play a couple of songs now. One from a fantastic new album that we've just received that I've been reviewing by Farida. And the song is called Heart of a Man. And then a song from the Earl Peach album that's been featured heavily in the last few shows called Maybe You Should Go for a Drive. So the question before you is, what do you do when it's damn cold?
I come from a land of ice and snow. 8 months of the year, nothing grows. Fields are white, cities so clean. Polar diamonds as far as you can see. A deep breath, choke on the sting. Your skin suffers the loss of feeling. Step back inside, feel the pain in your thighs. Every day you despise, 'cause it's one dark night. You put on two pairs of socks. You layer your coat, your scarves, and your gloves. This harsh land, it's like the heart of a man. You never get used to it. No, you never get used to it.
up in the morning to midnight. Come home from work by moonlight. Everyone's so tired, can't get enough sleep. Don't you look at the sky, you only see it weep. You put on two pairs of socks. You layer your coat, your scarves, and your gloves. This harsh land, it's like the heart of a man. You never get used to it. Never get used to it.
Tonight, the house is empty and the kids are gone. They're staring deep into the firelight. Nobody knows what trip you're on. Your heart is aching and your eyes are on fire. The world's blues have got you down. You need a hand to hold your friendly desire. You start to think you want to head downtown. Should go for a drive, merge with the traffic like a bee in a hive. All those people alone in their cars, streaming down the highway under the moon and stars. You finally reach your destination, where everybody's talking about sports and art. You order up a small libation, a little alcohol to warm your heart. You sit and watch negotiations proceed. All the head talks so serious and loud, but no one seems to want to meet your need. You start to think you want the swift-paced crowd. Well, maybe you should go for a drive, merge with the traffic like a bee in a hive. Those people alone in their cars, screaming down the highway under the moon and stars. Wind up down beside the ocean, bottle in a paper bag to keep you warm. Staring out at your emotion, a wall of city lights like a frozen storm. Well, what is the mystery that keeps you alone? 5 billion voices, not one of them yours. Your obvious self-pity makes you groan. It's not like yourself and from the family wars. Well, maybe you should go for a drive, merge with the traffic like a bee in a hive. All of those people alone in their cars, screaming down the highway under the moon and stars. Well, maybe you should go for a drive, merge with the traffic like a bee in a hive. All of those people alone in their cars, screaming down the highway under the moon and stars. Well, maybe you should go for a drive.
And Mary was a country gal who used to milk the cows. And every time that Mary went with Charlie to the bray, she knew the guy was awful shy and teased him every day. Chased me Charlie through the barley in the afternoon. Chased me Charlie through the barley by the light of the moon. Chased me Charlie through the barley, if you catch me soon, you'll be married to me Charlie by the 1st of June. Now Charlie to the dance he went to hear the fiddles play. And there was Mary from the dairy dancing cares away. And when she grabbed him by the arm, his face it turned to red. He hollered, "Whoa, let me go," but this is what she said. Chased me Charlie through the barley in the afternoon. Chased me Charlie through the barley by the light of the moon. Chased me Charlie through the barley, if you catch me soon, you'll be married to me Charlie by the 1st of June. Charlie in the morning went to fetch a load of hay. And there was Mary, quite contrary, standing in his way. And when she called him Rooster Face, she knew the deed was done. She up and away to the barley field as fast as she could run. There was Charlie chasing Mary all the afternoon. There was Charlie chasing Mary by the light of the moon. And Mary, Mary, quite contrary, sings a different tune. 'Cause she got married to her Charlie, now they're bride and groom. Chased me Charlie through the barley in the afternoon. Chased me Charlie through the barley by the light of the moon. Chased me Charlie through the barley, if you catch me soon, you'll be married to me Charlie by the 1st of June. And she got married to her Charlie, now they're bride and groom.
So there was Ferida with Heart of a Man, Earl Peach with Maybe You Should Go for a Drive, and then Stompin' Tom Connors made his way in there with a song called Chase Me Charlie, which seems to be set in a different season entirely. It seems to be a bit of a mating season that he's in. Charlie and Mary would agree. But let's cut down to the chase. Today's show is mostly about new music. Exactly, it's all new music. It's all stuff that's just been received. I've been reviewing music like crazy, and it's been crazy good. All kinds of fantastic albums. This is not even the beginning of the tidal wave of brilliant music that has been received at CJSF. And the main spotlight feature in this show is going to be Ferida, for the most part. And it's from an album. It really is. Called Symphony of Chemistry. This is an artist that is going to take off in a just world. So let's hope it is. And this next set of three will feature two songs from the album. The first you will hear is called Caterpillar. And then a bit of a metamorphosis of sorts is going to take place, because it's going to be a whole different artist altogether after that, which might confuse you, but I sure hope not. And that artist will be Earl Peach, once again, about a man that doesn't want to change at all, and it's a song called Angus McCrimmon. So, in resistance to change, I'll then go back to a song by Ferida from the album Symphony of Chemistry called Queen of the Tide, which is going to have a lot of movement.
Caterpillar crawling across my floor, so many legs looking for the dough. I swear I saw him last night out of the corner of my big blue eyes. I'll admit he kind of grosses me out, all that hair and his funny, funny mouth. So I pick him up, big girls in a ball, throw him out the window and I watch him fall. When he turns into a butterfly and remembers the faithful night I set him free, he'll come visit me
Well, I've been hanging around this boy. Oh, his kisses bring me so much joy. Sun in the sky, summer in the sand. Looks at me, says commitment. And I'll admit that word grosses me out. He's not a tree, he still sprouts. So I just say, you're not ready. I'll watch him pout and turn away. When he turns into a butterfly. Come visit me. Well, here's my daddy on his bed. All these chemicals rushing through his head. Doctors say you gotta make a choice. I hear his lungs beating for a voice. And I'll admit this place grosses me out. All these people with the shout, shout, shout. I watch as the machines turn off. His eyes, they fade so soft. When he turns into a butterfly. Come visit me.
Marriage is no game for one such as I. There is little appeal to temptation and strife. I've had too many years of being independent. Be a cold day in hell before I get a wife. Now Angus McCrimmon was 73, with his pipes full of plum cake and porridge at nine. He'd a pen full of old sheep, he'd never surrender. If you asked for his health, 'twas exceedingly fine. When I was a young man, I was suitor to many, and many's the time was found wanting of charm. I spent half of my school days wandering rejected and cursing the mug with a girl on each arm. 'Twas then that I traveled to seek my good fortune, hoping to find my position in life. But my habits grew on me like corn in the field, and my longings fell under my harvesting knife. I once knew a girl, she was clever and 30. She could work with her hands and express her thoughts well, but we argued like starlings, so greedy and grey, that we settled for less than a marriage in hell. And now that I'm older, I still like suspenders. I sharpen my razor with a good leather strop. I love the old farmhouse until I go down. If I'm happy like this, pray tell, why should I stop? No, marriage is no game for one such as I. There is little appeal to temptation and strife. I've had too many years of being independent. Be a cold day in hell before I get a wife.
Turn my calls, just move on and go through all of your stuff. Get rid of what I've touched and make room for a new one. And let her love Jesus. And you can go to church twice a week, that'll be my desk. Don't forget me. Let love to jackets and shiny shoes. Let her love all the things I couldn't about you. Go take out your Bible. About the apple that changed your life. Brand me as temptation and be born again with your new wife. And let her love Jesus. And you can go to church twice a week. Let her be modest. And don't forget me.
leather love suit jackets and shiny shoes. Leather love all the things I couldn't about you. Then why couldn't you? Yeah, you were always making God the issue. And yeah, you say he loved me too. Then why couldn't you? So let her love Jesus.
I'm going to present a couple of teasers, three of them, in fact, from another album that is super, super brilliant. And it's by Annabelle Schwesdek, who is a former member of the Waylon Jennies. This album that you're going to hear now could very well be the best album I've reviewed all year long. And keep in mind, this is December. And this track is very powerful. And it feels like an anthem for me. It speaks to me in my place in the world and life and experience right now.
Ah, the resilience of a heart, bash it to bits, a fresh new start, all the shattered pieces snap back together. Hold it in your hands, it's soft as kid leather. Hold it in your hands. This crush in my body, taste of salt water. One who tugs the hardest is the hardest to love. That's just it. It's how it is. Throw it if you catch it. I got lots more. Hey,
is called Resilience by Annabelle Schwostek. Hard one to pronounce. Hopefully I'm getting it right. So now we're going to have a couple more songs. One more from Annabelle and also one by Ferda. No one with easy names on the show today. Although R.A. Lautenschlager sure is fun to say. I love playing songs by his album just to say his name. So this next one by Ferda is called Queen of the Tide, and Annabelle Schwostek, a song called Wait for It. Couple of fun ones.
Well, they called me down to the riverside, and they brushed my hair 100 times, and they immersed my hands in diamonds, and they called me Queen of the Tide. And they sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. They sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. They sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. Well, I felt the moon pull on my blood, and I ebbed and flowed in tandem, and my voice, it sang like the rain, and the sound became a flood, and it sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. It sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. It sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. Well, I felt the waves move left to right, and the water became my hips and thighs, and the crown of my head of tiny droplets pronounced me Queen of the Tide. And I rained, 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 and I rained. And when they brought me back to shore, we sang once more. We sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. We sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. We sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. We sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. We sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. We sang, hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama.
till we can wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Wait for it, wait for it, wait for it.
Now we're going to have a set of four. But before the set of four, I will announce. The first is by the Sumner Brothers, called My Words. Then a simple, cool song by Stompin' Tom, called Bush of Bucktooth, which is also known as the Doot Song. And the song, once again, this one, an instrumental piece, called Line of Ascent, and that's by Annabelle Svestik, a mandolin instrumental. It's quite brilliant. And then a song by Farida called We Were Lovers. And what will happen next, you'll have to wait and see.
I might get it by lightning from the sky. I knew a guy, I heard of a guy. My car might just roll on right off this road. Well, sometimes that's just the way this life goes. And I might head on down to your place tonight and find you in the arms of some other guy. But I ain't gonna let those fears get in my way. No, darling, we cannot live life that way. Baby, I know we've both been hurt before. Got plenty of reason to hit the floor. But I don't want to see us ending up that way. I don't want to see you walking out that door. Cause good times they come, good times they go. The road is dusty and it is long and it's cold. But I love you, babe, that's a fact. Take my words and let's roll back. Well, I may at times lose my will to run, stumble and fall, rolling around in the mud. I just lose the top right off of my head, directionless and stunned, and my faith is dead. But the times they come, this road I know, a little dust and cold never hurt no one. So back your bags, baby, that's a fact. I believe we got ourselves a train.
down and tied him a goose. Tell her old man, give me the push. He said there's jobs in New Brunswick, Bob, working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. I said goodbye to Tatamagush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Do, 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 do. Tatamagush. She didn't want to give me the push. She messed with Bob. She got herself a job working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. She said goodbye to Tatamagush. She's working in the bush of Buck Tush. She didn't have to give me a push. She married a Bob right here on the job. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. I married a gal from Tatamagush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Didn't take much of a push. I got a house and a job and a son called Bob. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. I'm a long way now from Tatamagush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush. I'm a long way now from Tatamagush. Working in the bush of Buck Tush.
Scottish Country Dance Society invites you to join them. The local Scottish Country Dance Society would like to welcome all new dancers who would like to join a fun Scottish Country Dance class in their neighborhood. All ages, all levels, social, non-competitive dancing, where no partner is needed, and that provides real fitness for body and mind. Call 604-929-6884 or visit www.rscdsvancouver.org. Thank you. On December 20th, BLIM, Vancouver's community-based art resource center, is hosting a winter market and craft event from noon to 5 p.m. at Cambrian Hall, located at 215 East 17th Avenue. There will be various crafts, soaps, and food perfect for the holiday season. For more information, visit blim.ca or call 604-872-8180.
We were lovers, we were lovers, we were lovers. In the night were caresses on his twin mattress, our hands intertwined, his body and mine. And we couldn't sleep, so we promised each other that we keep the secrets that lay there. For we were lovers, we were lovers, we were lovers. In the morning was coffee, breakfast and talking, and in general now wanting to go. Skip work, laugh and flirt, half seconds like dessert before going home. For we were lovers, we were lovers, we were lovers.
Well, it's great to have a full hour taped Ryan segment. You know, live Ryan has gotten in the habit of just being too greedy, and it's fantastic to have this opportunity to give you good programming for a change. I did not record enough songs because I'm used to having such limited space that I only get limited songs, but of course there is more than enough brilliant songs worthy of playing for you. This is, reminds me of the good old days when I would get a full hour every episode of Melodies in Mind. I think something happened to Live Ryan where, Anyway, I'm going to play a song that makes me think of him and what he did. It's called I Left My Brain, and it's by Annabelle Svestic once more. You're going to hear lots and lots of this album. This is only the beginning. And, yeah. I'm going to dedicate this to Live Ryan because he left his brain somewhere. Anyway, maybe he got it back again. We can hope.
I left my brain by the side of the road. I left my side of the road. I left my brain by sun. Forever ain't long when you're drilling Babylon. I left my eyes by the side of the road.
That was Annabelle Shrestik, A Song for the Road. Hope you enjoyed the episode today. More great stuff to come next week. Next week, actually, I'm going to do a rerun. Next week will be the December 23rd episode, and it's going to be a rerun of the December 9th episode, which was very, very good song circle that week. And then December 30th, we're going to have an interview with Nathan Blackburn, who's going to talk about Puddle City Arts and some more recorded stuff by me. And then the Song Circle will return January 5th. So, I wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM, or on the web at www.cjsf.ca.
La, 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 la.
Thank you for listening to Melodies in Mind. It is my hope that you have had at least half as much fun as we did in putting this show together. It is a total joy to be bringing you the best in folk music every week. So thanks for checking out the show, and be sure to tell your friends, and tune in again next week, 8 to 10 p.m. And remember, without a tune in your head, you are seriously misled. Oh, and if you have any comments, email melodiesinmind@gmail.com. So the show goes on. I'm just going to fill these last few minutes until Borders and Boundaries with songs from a Mr. Pine album called Rewilding, which is perhaps what you might need to do before you listen to heavy metal music. This will be the right way.
Soft as cream, for the smile of a teenage girl, on the eyes of a single stray, on the eyes of a single stray.